Please open your books, or your Bibles, or your books. Please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. Your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1022. Matthew 16. Beginning with verse 21, we'll read responsively through verse 26. And the text for tonight's message is verse 24. Let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful evening. It's been a blessing to be here now, all for these moments to spend with thy children. We thrill, of course, at things that are happening. Thank you for the woodshop display, for the young men who are involved with that, and for those who lead them. Thank you for singing tour groups and how they blessed our hearts a while ago with their music. And of course, we want to promise to pray for them throughout the summer as they travel. And we pray that you bless now in this service. This is what it's all about, the preaching hour. And we, of course, need to hear from thee once again. And so bless our preacher with power. Bless our ability to concentrate and listen and to take in that which you've given our preacher to give to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak tonight from the text Brother Colston read with us a while ago. And this is my text. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I want to talk to you tonight on what it means to take up your cross. I think we do not exactly understand. Now, I want to say tonight that I realize it's a little warm in here. Our air conditioner is doing all it can do. It's not really summertime. We don't usually have this many people when the hot weather gets here. And we, by the way, this is the weather we've wanted. But isn't it wonderful that we've had a change in weather and that we have a different kind of weather to gripe about now? I don't know about you, but I'm tired of griping about cold weather. It's a joy to get to gripe about hot weather for a change. And I know you don't like me to say this, but I'm not going to be as lengthy as usual tonight. And I know what you think that means 10:15, I know. But I want you to listen carefully. This is sort of a Sunday morning kind of a sermon. Now, I don't like to preach different kinds of sermons Sunday morning and Sunday night. And I recommend to preachers around the country not to do so. But we have a different situation here. There are literally hundreds of people here on Sunday night who are not here on Sunday morning. Let me show you. This will shock you. How many of you were not in this auditorium at 11 o'clock this morning? Raise your hand, would you, if you were not here? All right, you can see there are hundreds of people. And now then, the reason is because we have junior churches and bus ministries and so forth. So if I want to fix something, I have to do it on Sunday night because you're not here, a lot of you, on Sunday morning. So it's not Sunday morning messages are usually challenges, comfort, strength, encouragement, and so forth. And my Sunday night messages, I usually heal the dead, cast out the sick, and raise the devils. Now tonight, I'm not going to give you Pharisees the privilege of thinking that I'm going to raise the devil tonight. But I'm just kidding when I say Pharisees. Really, you're more like the Sadducees. But I want to bring tonight sort of a Sunday morning kind of a sermon. And I think it's the kind of thing that I hope will be an encouragement to you, entitled "Take Up Thy Cross." I'll use this microphone, and that make you think I'm going to get mad. All right. Okay. Our Heavenly Father, I pray tonight you'd help me to be able to help these dear people. I want to be a blessing. Please help me to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. What is my cross? What is your cross? Someone says, I have a serious illness, and that serious illness is my cross. That is not true. Your serious illness is not your cross. Don't misunderstand me. It's a burden, and God's interested in helping you bear it. But when God says, take up your cross, He's not talking about your serious illness. Somebody else says, my child went astray. I had a child that broke my heart, became an adult and broke my heart, and that's the cross I have to bear. Now, I think God will help you with that, but that is not a cross. When Jesus said, take up thy cross and follow me, He's not talking about such a problem as a child going astray. Someone else says, my wife left me. That's no cross at all. One fellow said to me, he said, I went on a diet. He said, lost 150 pounds of ugly fat. My wife left me. But I didn't say that. I'll probably say it tomorrow. But if your wife leaves you, or if your husband leaves you, certainly that's something that God wants to help you with, and God wants to comfort you. And as the song was sung a while ago, God's concerned about helping you. Somebody said, Brother Hiles, my loved one has passed away. I've lost my husband to death, or I've lost my wife to death, or I've lost a child, or I've lost a mother, or I've lost a father. Now, God is certainly concerned about that, and God has a special watch care and concern about those who lose loved ones. But that is not the bearing of your cross, or the taking up of your cross. Somebody said, I know what it was. It was when Daniel was in the lion's den, when Daniel... Well, that's the cross. No, that was not Daniel's cross. Daniel going to the lion's den was not his cross. Somebody said, well, how about the Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They went to the fire furnace. Wasn't that their cross? No, that was not their cross. The fire furnace was not their cross. Well, how about Brother Randy Rogers back here? Was a businessman, a painter. Painter, is that right, Randy? And had his own business. Was up on a scaffold about 20 feet high, fell off, and his back hit just a certain way to where he's paralyzed from about here down. And it just may be he'll always be paralyzed like that. Somebody said that's his cross to bear. Now, don't misunderstand me. I admire the fellow tremendously, and I'll say more about it after a while. But his accident and his being paralyzed and being in a wheelchair tonight is not what Jesus meant when he said, take up thy cross and follow me. Then somebody said, well, how about Brother Don Boyd? He found he had cancer in one of his eyes. His eye was removed, and now he has a glass eye. Certainly that's a cross to bear. Now, that don't misunderstand me. God's concerned about that. God's concerned about every tear that falls and every burden you bear, every heartache. God shares it with you, but that's not what Jesus was talking about when he said, take up thy cross. Well, how about Mrs. Evans and the cancer problem that she's had? Isn't that cancer her cross? No, that cancer is not her cross. Jesus said, take up thy cross and follow me. He wasn't talking about her cancer or Brother Randy's being paralyzed or Brother Boyd losing an eye or you having a heartache of some kind. That's not what he meant. None of these is a cross. You recall, I often use the story about Brother Dan Parr, my good friend who pastored near Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in the Ben-Salem Baptist Church. That Dan Parr had cancer, and he suffered severely. But that cancer was not his cross. That's not what Jesus was talking about
when he said, take up thy cross. All right, you say, okay, Brother Hiles, then the cross, my cross, is the will of God for my life. Now, that's a part of it, but that's not all of it. Of course, Jesus went to the cross, and that was the will of God for his life. But just doing the will of God, or being in the will of God for your life, is not necessarily what Jesus meant when he said, take up thy cross. Then the question comes, what is my cross? Don't leave me now. What is my cross? Number one, it's suffering. Jesus suffered on the cross. So if you have a cross, it is suffering. It may be physical suffering. It may be heart suffering. It may be mental suffering. It may be mental anguish. It may be a heartbreak. But if your cross always involves suffering. Number two, what is my cross? It is unique to me. My cross is not your cross. Jesus said, take up a cross and follow me. Jesus did not say, take up his cross and follow him. He said, take up your cross and follow him. So your cross is not my cross, and your cross is not his cross, and your cross is not his cross. When Jesus said, take up thy cross. So the first thing that the cross is, don't leave me now, the first thing the cross is suffering. And the second thing the cross is, it is unique to me. It is my particular cross. Now, the third thing the cross means is this. Notice the words, take up. Nobody ever says anything about those. Take up. The cross is not something that is thrust on you. The cross is something that you take up yourself. There were three people who died that day on Golgotha's Mount. There were the thieves on either side of the Savior, and there was the Savior between the thieves. Now, only one of those, listen to me now, only one of those took up his cross. Jesus took up his cross. The authorities never said to the criminals in the Roman Empire, I'd like you to take up your cross. They didn't have that alternative. The truth is, they had to go to the cross. Now, when Jesus said, take up your cross, he meant there's a suffering involved. He meant it's unique to you. And thirdly, it's something that you yourself decide to bear. It is, let me give you the definition. Your cross is choosing something that you know God wants you to do, realizing it will inflict pain. Let me say it again. Your cross is your choosing. He said, take up. He didn't say, bear the cross I put on you. He said, take up your cross. So I give it again. Your cross is something that you know God wants you to do, realizing that it will inflict pain. Now let's go back to the illustrations I used a while ago. Daniel's cross was not the lion's den. Daniel's cross was when he was given the choice to pray or not to pray. Daniel, knowing what was going to happen, said, I'm going to pray like I always have. Now, whatever pain you inflict on me doesn't matter. I'm going to pray like I always have. Now, his cross was the choice to pray like he always did, knowing it would cause him to endure the lion's den. So the cross was not the lion's den. The cross was his picking up purposely. If the lion's den had been inflicted, but he didn't have to go to the lion's den. He could have quit praying with the window open. He could have stopped his prayer life, and he wouldn't have had to go. But Daniel said, I am going to do what I know is right to do. I realize it will inflict some pain upon me. Now that's what the writer meant when he said to the old rugged cross, I will ever be true. It's shame and reproach gladly bear. Your cross is not what is forced upon you. Your cross is suffering that you could prevent. It is suffering that you could avoid. But when Daniel said, you won't keep me from praying like I've always been praying. You can put me in the lion's den. I don't care where you put me. I'm going to pray like I've always prayed. Daniel knew suffering was going to come, but he took up his cross. Now, the Hebrew children, their cross was not the fiery furnace. Oh, you said they went in the fiery furnace and bore their cross. No, their cross was not the fiery furnace. Their cross was when King Nebuchadnezzar, along with the Southern Baptist Convention and American Baptist Convention, and the 700 Club and the National Council of Churches and Jim Baker and a few others got together and made this big image, golden image, on the plains of Dura. Now the king said, everybody has got to bow down and worship that golden image. If you don't bow down and worship that golden image, you'll be cast into the fiery furnace. Now when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were cast into the fiery furnace, that was not their cross, taking up their cross. It was when they said, Your Majesty, you say you're going to cast us in the fiery furnace. Our God will deliver us from that fiery furnace. But if not, if our God does not deliver us, we're still not going to bow down and worship that God. We're not going to do it. Now, that was taking up the cross. I'm saying again, if you all of a sudden are inflicted with cancer, that's not your cross. That is what God puts upon you. But when you willingly choose the suffering, you take up your cross. For example, let me go to the child going astray. You have a child that's broken your heart. You have a child that's gone astray. Now, that's not your cross. Your cross is when you decide to keep going. You say, I'm not going to stop. Now, you reach down and take up your cross. You know how tough it's going to be. You know how embarrassed you're going to be because the child has gone astray. But God has called you to run the bus route. God has called you to teach a Sunday school class. God has called you to go soul winning. God has called you to serve Him. And you say, it's going to be a tough go, but I am going to take up my cross, and that's the cross. The cross is not the bearing the child that's gone astray. The cross is you're deciding to keep on going in the face of the embarrassment. Take Randy Rogers back there. That wheelchair is not your cross, Randy. That paralyzation is not your cross. Then what is his cross? I'll tell you what it is. Randy sat in my office last Friday morning, and he said, now get this, I'm going to support my family again. He said, I am going to get back the place where I am going to support my family. Now, that's his cross. He's going to college in September. He's planning on taking a secondary education. He's planning on being a school teacher someday. Now, that's taking up his cross. See, he didn't jump off that scaffold. Don't think he did. Though he is dumb enough to, but he didn't jump off that scaffold. He didn't say, look at me, I'm going to jump off the scaffold. He fell off the scaffold, and that was not taking up his cross. But when he said to me the other day, I am going to support my family again. I hope that convicts some of you red-blooded, two-fisted fellas. That your wife supports you. I hope that convicts some of you college students that can't even make your own way in college. There's a man sitting back there paralyzed from here down, and he says, I will support my family again. Now, that's his cross. He's taking up that cross. He could sit there in that wheelchair if he wants to, sit home, watch television the rest of his life. He could sit there in a wheelchair and let folks serve him, let his dear wife serve him if he wants to. But he said, no, sir, I'm not going to do it. I am going. And you watch him, he'll do it. You just watch him. He'll support his family again. Now, he took up his cross. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I sympathize with you about those burdens that are inflicted upon you over which you have no choice. But when it comes to those things that you can choose or choose not to do, that's what the cross is. Now, let's go, for example, a deserted wife. I was talking the other day to Mrs. Jeff Jones. She's not deserted, but her husband passed away. He was pastoring down in Columbia, South Carolina. I was preaching in Charleston Monday and Tuesday. She came to hear me. She asked if she could see me. And she said, Brother Hiles, I've decided to do whatever you say to do. Now, that's the smartest thing anybody will ever decide to do. I've decided to do whatever you say to do. She said, now what do you think I ought to do? And I said, Mr. Jones, you have hundreds of friends at First Baptist Church and Howells Anderson College. People that love you. And you can have a life there. There's schools and activities and ball games and concerts and so forth that you can enjoy. I would suggest you come back to Hammond. And she's coming back to Hammond to live. Now she's going to have, it's going to be a hardship for her. Some folks in the family won't understand the fact that she's coming back to Hammond. Now what is it? She's saying, I'm going to rear my children in First Baptist Church of Hammond. I'm going to rear my children in Hammond Baptist Schools. Now she could give up. But she's saying, I'm not going to give up. I'm taking up my cross. So basically, ladies and gentlemen, if you take your cross up, it means you don't give up when the suffering comes. It means you take the necessary pain that comes with continuing to endure the suffering. And tonight, whatever your heartache is, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Mrs. Evans, you say her cross is cancer. Or Dr. Evans, that's closer than the cancer. But no, that's not Ms. Evans' cross. Ms. Evans did not take up the cancer. She didn't go to the doctor one day and said, how can I get cancer? Can you give me a pill, a cancer pill, that'll give me cancer? She did not take up. Your cross you take up. You voluntarily pick it up. Then what's her cross? Her cross is the pain and suffering she endures as she keeps on teaching in Howells Anderson College. Her cross is the suffering she endures as she continues traveling across America. Now that's her cross. The cancer was inflicted on her. She did not take that up, but she said, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. She told she was in the hospital. She gave up. Planned her funeral. In the hospital. Gave up. I called her on the phone. She said, I'm just not going to take that chemotherapy again. I can't handle it again. She said, it makes me crazy. I said, Ms. Evans, you were crazy a long time before you ever took chemotherapy. And she started laughing on the telephone. And she laughed and she laughed. Well, I think you'd know, Ms. Evans. Was I right or wrong? Right, okay. But I'm saying, she said, I'm going to make it now. Now, when she said, I'm going to make it, she was taking up her cross. She was saying, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep on going. Now, Jesus said, if you're worthy of me, you're going to have to deny yourself. I preached on that a few Sundays ago. And then he said, take up your cross. It is when you know you're going to suffer. You know there'll be pain inflicted. You know there's going to be hardship. You know it's going to be tough. But you choose to because you know that's what God wants you to do. Young couple going to the mission field. That's taking up the cross. They choose to go to the mission field. They choose to spend 2 or 3 years on deputation. They choose to, and boy, you don't understand, and I don't understand how these little women take it who are on deputation. How would you like women to stay in a different bed practically every night and eat at somebody else's table? How would you like to never have to cook a meal again? How would you like to not ever have to clean house again? How would you like to never have to have the burden of rearing your kids? These gals have got it made. But these young couples, listen now, they know what it means to go to a third world country. Or they know what it means to go to another country. They know it means leaving mom and dad. They know it means homesickness. They know it means rearing their children without a fundamental Christian school to attend. They know it means 2 or 3 years of deputation. They know all of that. But they take up their cross. It is not inflicted on them. And understand me, I think we ought to feel sorry and have compassion on people that suffer who have no choice. But brother, let's praise God for those who know what's right to do and choose to do what's right, knowing that trouble will come, knowing that problems will come, knowing that heartache will come. I'm trying to say we need some old-fashioned Christian people again who say, I'm taking up my cross. Don Boyd's. Our problem is not his cross. He didn't say one day, I'd like to have cancer of the eye. I'd like to be a one-eyed person. I'd like to be Pete the Pirate the Second. That's what I want. I think I'll get cancer. He had not one single thing to do with that cancer. But he did have something to do with saying, I'm going to keep on going. I'm not going to turn back. So that means He was taking up his cross. Now, hear me carefully. If taking up your cross is choosing something that you know God wants you to do, realizing it will inflict pain, then not taking up your cross is just the opposite. Hear me carefully. Not taking up your cross is quitting college. And you listen carefully, you quitters are not going to come back next year. You say, I'm not quitting, I'm just not coming back. Would you tell me what quitting is? Would you look at Webster's Dictionary and find the meaning of the word quit? If you quit, that means you're a quitter. And I've got more respect for a pimp than I have for a quitter. Man, but how's, a girl said not long ago, my mother needs me at home. My mother's getting old. She needs me at home. I feel like I gotta go. I said, how old is your mother? She said, 39. And every other stinking excuse is just as flimsy as that one. I'm saying, if taking up your cross is choosing to do that, that you know God wants you to do, you say, well, how do I know God wants me? God always wants you to finish what you start. He that puts his hand to the plow and turns back is not worthy of the kingdom of heaven, the Bible says. That means that not taking up your cross is quitting college. That means, Randy, not taking up your cross is giving up. If taking up your cross is saying, I'll support my family someday, then not taking up, and I'm not scolding you, boy, but I'm saying, you keep on going. I told the other day, I said, President Franklin D. Roosevelt was in a wheelchair. I said, man, shoot for the White House. Now, I told him the other day, and I'm not, I wouldn't scold him for the world, unless it would help him keep on going. I said, Brother Randy, every adult in this world has something that could stop them. He said, Brother Hiles, why? Why? Why did this happen to me? And I said, Randy, every adult in the world asks the same question about some reason. I said, walk down the hallway here of the office. Stop at Ms. McKinney's office first. As you walk out, on the right. Why is Tom McKinney in a wheelchair? Why? She asks why. Go to Maxine Jeffries. She has the next office. And she says, why have others had families and I've had to be single and never be a wife or a mother? Go to Rose O'Brien's office next and she says, why do I have lupus? Go to the office right across from Rose's, and the little lady says, why did my husband leave me to rear my children alone? Now, let me tell you something, folks, and I said this to Brother Randy, and I wouldn't hurt him for the world, but you're not the only one that's suffering. You're not the only one that's got problems. Now, are you going to be one of those that takes up your cross and faces the problem and says it's not going to lick me? Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross. That means if it's going to be tough, go ahead and do it anyway. Choose to do it, knowing that pain's going to come, knowing that heartache's going to come, knowing that loneliness is going to come. Do it. And I'll promise you, I'll live to see the day when Randy Rogers will be lifted up on that wheelchair to this platform, and I'll give him his degree from Howells Anderson College, and you'll see the day when Randy Rogers sits behind a desk in a schoolroom and teaches a class, and you'll see the day when he looks in the mirror and realizes that's a man I'm looking at in the mirror. I have decided, I am now, once again, supporting my family. Take up your cross. Don't run from it. Take it up. The Hebrew children, to not take up their cross was to bow down before the image. To not take up Daniel did not take up his cross was to quit his prayer life or change his prayer life so he wouldn't have to suffer. Not taking up the cross is my mother giving up when she lost her first two children and her husband turned to alcohol and became an alcoholic. Not taking up your cross is, if a child goes astray, you blame God and quit. Not taking up your cross, if a young couple's called to the mission field and turns back. Not taking up your cross if Ms. Evans quits teaching. Now listen, that there are far too many people here who have a little bit of cross about that big that you won't take up. You don't come to church some morning because you got a headache. She comes with cancer. You don't come some morning because you got 99.6 temperature. I said she comes and she's got cancer. Some of you folks don't go to work because you don't feel real well. She keeps on teaching her class while she has cancer. I'm saying, okay, everybody has it tough, but reach down there and say, okay, this is what God wants me to do. He wants me to rear my children. I'll take up my cross and do it. He wants me to keep on going. I'll take up my cross and do it. He wants me to bear my burden. I'll take up my cross and do it. Ladies and gentlemen, take up your cross tonight. Not taking up your cross is Dan Parr staying in the hospital in Philadelphia. 105 temperature. Supposed to speak at First Baptist Church at pastor school. 105 temperature. Takes his oxygen tank, escapes the hospital, goes to the airport, stole the stupid oxygen tank from the hospital for a while, borrowed it, gets on the airplane with 105 temperature, flies to Chicago. I hope that convicts you people that lay out of church because you got a headache. You got an ingrowing toenail. You lay out of church. Brother, it's time God's people got tough again. It's time God's men got tough again. Take up your cross. Is he in the house? I didn't cause this. Okay, then I said, okay. Now, your cross is when you decide to take the other pain that's inflicted because you keep on going. A few times in my life, I've taken up my cross. When my father left home, I'll be honest with you, I thought about suicide. I really did. I was a lad. I thought it wasn't fair. About 2 o'clock one morning, sitting on the curb on Idaho Street in Dallas, Texas, near Elmore Street, I decided I was going to take whatever came. They laughed at me because I was the alcoholic son. They laughed at me because I was the poor boy in the neighborhood. They laughed at me because we didn't have what everybody else had. They laughed at me because they had cars and we didn't. They laughed at me because we had wood stove and they had gas stoves. They laughed at me because I wore hand-me-down clothes and they didn't. But I decided, by the grace of Almighty God, that I was going to keep on going. Now, my cross is not my dad leaving. I didn't kick dad out of the house. My cross was keep on going in the face of opposition and criticism, in spite of the fact that my dad had left. I took my cross. And the Dallas Baptist Association said to me, you support the colleges like Baylor University. Baylor University considered not long ago allowing what? Shorts? They decided to have something on campus. What was it? Dancing. Yeah, Baylor University, Baptist College. Wouldn't you have to be a Southern Baptist right now? Well, you say they decided not to. The fact they had to decide not to, what bothers me. But I wouldn't give a dime. I wouldn't give one dime to an institution that didn't believe that book's the Word of God. Not one dime. They came to me and said, you support the program or we'll kick you out of the convention. Now, their criticism was not my cross. Me being a right winger was not my cross. Me being criticized, ostracized was not my cross. My cross was when I decided I'm going to do what's right. You kick me out. You kick me in. You kick me over. You kick me through. Or kick me through the goalpost of life. I am not going to give a dime to Baylor University, Southwestern Seminary, Southern Seminary, Stetson University, Furman University, Wake Forest University. I'm not going to give one dime. I'm not going to support the cooperative program. Now I reached down and took up my cross, knowing what was going to happen, and that's what we need. We got a bunch of pussyfooting, sissy bitches preacher in the pulpit that won't take up their cross. In God's name, take up your cross. If God wants you to do it, do it. came to Hammond. Had a battle. Brother, Mike Monty was telling me about battle he's having in his church. And he's had some real battles. Everybody takes a stand's got some real battles. That's the reason preachers change. They're not willing to take up their cross. I came to Hammond, had some battles. 8 different churches in Texas tried to get me to come back and be their pastor. 8 different churches. High Street Baptist Church in Springfield, Missouri, one of the 10 largest churches in America back in those days, asked me to come and candidate, and I went down, candidated, and I told them I wasn't interested. Well, what was my cross? Going through the battle? No, my cross was when I decided to stay when I could have left. I took up the cross, and I said to rich people, we're going to run a bus ministry. You don't like it? Just don't like it. Lump it. We're going to run the buses. I said to people, we're not going to be an American Baptist convention anymore. And we had Katie bar the door. But you say, what do you say? I'm saying, I reached down and took up my cross. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever it is that you know you're supposed to do, I don't care if it's saying no to a drinking party at work. I don't care if it's saying no to a date of the handsomest guy in the school, but he's not what he ought to be. I don't care if it's saying no to the allure of a beautiful woman. I don't care what it is. You do what is right, knowing there is suffering and pain and heartache, and that's what it means to take up your cross and follow him. When I was attacked, I took up my cross. Now, my attack was not my cross. My keeping on going when I was attacked was my cross. When our son made a mistake and had to leave the pastorate, that was not my cross. I would never have wanted that. My cross was going across the country and preaching every Monday and Tuesday like I always had, having people look at me for a whole year, look at me like they did while I went. Now, I want to tell you, brother, we need some old-fashioned, broad-shouldered, barrel-chested, spiritual men in the world again to do what they ought to do. Do what you ought to do! It causes punishment, inflicts pain. That's your cross. Take up that cross and follow me. Anybody can quit. But Jesus said, you want to be my disciple? I do. You want to be my disciple? I'd like to be your disciple. He said, okay. He said, this is what you got to do. You got to deny yourself. Deny yourself. Then he said, you take up your cross and follow me. We got a bunch of Christians all over the country these days singing, onward Christian soldiers. Never have fought a battle for Jesus. Don't have one spiritual scar for Jesus. We got a bunch of Christians standing up and saying, my favorite scripture is, I'm crucified with Christ. Crucified with Christ. You haven't even got a little shingle nail in your hands yet. You haven't been beaten with a piece of string yet. I'm crucified with Christ. Bless God, we need some believers who will roll up their sleeves and say, by the grace of God, I am going to do what I am supposed to do. And in so doing, you're taking up your cross. I'm asking a question. Have you taken up your cross?
Oh, you say, my mother-in-law lives with me. That's my cross.
That ain't your cross. That's your death.
That's just the cross I got to bear. My wife has bad breath.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying you say that. That's what the surge is about. They're working on her breath. The neighbors are complaining.
My wife has bad breath. That's just my cross. Or I got the croup. Or my dog's got the croup.
Years ago, Joe Boyd was in our church in Texas, and I was a kid preacher, about 21, 22 years old.
He moved his family down to Marshall, Texas, so they could be in our church. Mrs. Boyd was, and Amy and Bubba lived just alone. Joe was gone most of the time, and I was their pastor. Mrs. Boyd taught a Sunday school class, adult ladies class in our church. One night about 2 o'clock in the morning, the phone rang. She said, "Brother House," she said, "my German Shepherd dog's got croup. Could you come and take him to the hospital?" I got out of bed. 2 o'clock in the stupid morning. Drove about 4 or 5 miles over to Joe Boyd's house and got that big old German Shepherd dog and took him to the veterinarian hospital. Yes, sir. Don't you call me and tell me your dog is sick. I'm not going to do it. Brother Colston takes care of that kind of business here. I was driving that stupid dog to the veterinarian hospital, and that dog, big old dog, sitting there beside him. I said, "God, if I'd known this, I wouldn't have started to preach. That's just my cross. Just the cross I got up there. I got a freckle on my nose, that's my cross. I got a wart on my ear, that's my cross. Just my cross." No, sir. Your cross is when you come to something that is tough to do. Have you ever done anything tough to do when you knew you're supposed to do it? It's something that is tough to do. That's going to cause you pain, criticism, rebellion. But you say, "I am supposed to do it, and I am going to do it." And that's what you call taking up your cross and following Jesus. You know, life is so short. Good night. It's so short. I mean, believe me, it's short. If I got 80, I got 4 more months. He said, "Brother House, that make you sad?" No, sir. Bless God. I'm going to have the happiest 4 months in the history of mankind. But I aim to have a little more. 10 years ago, this September 25th, I got on my knees and I begged God for 10 more years. The other day, I got on my knees and said, I meant 20. I just said 10. I tell you what, when you face your Savior, brother, it won't make any difference how popular you were. It won't make that much difference how much fun you had. I tell you, you got a few scars on you where you did what you're supposed to do. I told the students of the day at the college this, and I'm not going to tell the whole story unless I want to. Fifty-two years ago this Sunday, senior day, when I was a high school senior, I had a date with a girl named Peggy Render. My best friend, Richard Newton, he's the best, closest person ever. I was closer to him as far as time spent than any other man in my life. Richard Newton. Richard was my best friend. We lived about a mile or two apart. Every morning I rode my bicycle to his house. We caught the bus and rode together. Every other morning he rode his bicycle to my house. We caught the bus and rode together. Richard's dad was a deacon in the Baptist church. Richard, one of the finest boys, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night boy, and so was I. We had our senior date on a Sunday. Those days you had what's called baccalaureate. We went to baccalaureate service at Cliff Temple Baptist Church in Dallas, Richard and his date, me and Peggy. We went to baccalaureate, then we ate a bite out, and then we went to an open house at Margaret and Mary Mayer's house. And then we, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we left their house, and Richard said, "Jack, what nightclub do you want to go to tonight?" I couldn't believe what I heard. I could not believe what I heard. Richard Newton, my best friend, says, "What nightclub you want to do?" Now, I want to tell you something, young people. If you didn't behave yourself on graduation night, you're not right with your God, and you ought to be ashamed of yourself. God doesn't give you a pass to do wrong because it's graduation night. Some of you folks go out and TP somebody's house on graduation night. I wish I knew where you live.
I'd teepee your house.
That is one of the rudest things any human being can do to another. I've known people to be up in trees or on roofs taking off the toilet paper in their house, falling and breaking an arm or a leg. Why don't you get some courtesy and some sense? Richard said, Jack, let's go to a nightclub. I said, Richard. He said, what are we going to do tonight? I said, I'm going to church, Richard. But this is senior day. I said, it's also Sunday. And Peggy Render, who grew up in our church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night girl, said, yeah, Jack. I said, call me Dr. Hiles. She said, Jack, what kind of a dud did I draw for senior day? I said, church going dud, same kind you had all along. She said, let's go to a nightclub just one time. Richard said, okay, Jack, let's compromise. Let's go to a drive-in movie. Peggy said, that's a good idea. B. Tate, his date, said, that's a good idea. I said, Richard, you know we go to church every Sunday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But this is senior day. I said, it was Sunday a long time before it was senior day. And Peggy said, boy, let's take little Lord Fauntleroy home. And little Lord Fauntleroy was taken home, and as we went home, they laughed at me and said, you going to knit or embroider or crochet? Bless God, I can do all three. Not a one of them can I do, buddy. And I don't like any other man to do stuff like that either. But anyway, just soon wear an earring as embroider. They took me home. Mother was already at church. They laughed at me. 52 years ago this Sunday night. We lived across the street from the church. I ran across the street from the church. Mother was sitting right back there. I walked in and Mother looked at me and she began to cry and praise God all at the same time. She said, son, I'm so proud of you. And I told her quickly the story. My mother wrote a little note to the pastor and told him the story. Brother Sizemore said, I want Jackie Boy House to stand up. And I stood up back in the back, and my church gave me a standing ovation. I said at the college the other day, I don't know how it feels to go to a nightclub. Never been there, but I bet it doesn't feel as good as getting a standing ovation, your pastor and your mama being proud of you. I don't know what it's like to go to a drive-in movie. But I bet it's not as much fun as your mother being proud of you, your pastor being proud of you, your church giving you a standing ovation. What I do that night, took up my cross. I took up my cross. I knew what it cost me. And word spread around the entire senior class. Guess what Hiles did? Guess what Hiles did? They called me Hopeless Hiles. That's my nickname. Guess what old Hopeless Hiles did? Went to church. Woo! And I walked down the street and folks say, hey, there's the senior day church going, boy. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. That's what you call taking up your cross. When you know it's going to be tough. You know you got to suffer. But you choose to do that which you know is the right thing to do. Let's bow our heads for prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, this whole country is dying tonight for some character among God's people. Somebody to take up their cross and follow Jesus. Convict those tonight who are cowards. Convict those yellow-bellied students not going to come back to school next year. And say, I'm not quitting. Convict them because of their unwillingness to take up their cross. Dear God, give us some people of courage again.